In today's gospel, Christ identifies himself as the promised anointed one of God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. Again. So, two facts about today. First is what the day is, and second is so the first, some of you may or may not know, but today is the Word of God Sunday, where we celebrate the Word of God. And not that I'm happy that the bishop is not here, but how appropriate that today we're going to be focusing more on the Word. Now, we're going to have the Eucharist, but on this Sunday with the bishop not here, we'll be focusing more on the Word of God. We won't have the procession with the Eucharist. We won't have Eucharistic prayer, but we will have the Eucharist. But today is about focusing on the Word of God. The second fact about the gospel, the last line here where Jesus says, "Today, this passage has been fulfilled in your hearing." You may or may not know this, but it is the shortest ever recorded homily in history. He said that one line, and then he sat down. Mine's not going to be that short. It's already gone longer. But two just things I wanted to point out about today. Now, how many, going back, and you probably still hear it, remember the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Okay, everybody's sleeping. I understand. Yes. Not true, is it? Now, sticks and stones do break your bones. When I was 9 or 10 years old, I was living in East Boston at the time, and I was riding my bike, minding my own business. And this young girl about my age, I don't know if she liked me, she thought I was cute or whatever, but she picked up a rock and threw it at my head. It hit me right in the head, knocked me off the bike. I went to the hospital, I got stitches in my head. You know, it was wonderful. That's a real strange way of saying that she really liked me or thought I was cute. But it hurt. That was a stone. But words do hurt. Words can hurt. And after this homily yesterday, when I gave it at the four, Barbara, our cantor, came up to me, and she said a really good line, and I'm going to use it, but Barbara gave it to me. Said, you know, sticks and stones may break your bones, and eventually they heal. But the wounds that come from hurtful words never heal. So words do hurt. When we call somebody fat, or we call somebody ugly, or we call somebody names that they don't deserve, or when we speak mean to a person, hateful, those words hurt. And we don't know the effect that our words can have on a person when we speak to somebody in anger or out of hate. Words can last forever, and those wounds can last forever, and we don't realize it. Today in the gospel, the word of God. The word of God is not hateful. The word of God is not name-calling. The word of God is of mercy. The word of God is of forgiveness. The word of God is of love. And the word of God is our way to salvation. So how do we get to know the word of God? Simple. The scriptures. We read the scriptures. And not simply just reading it like we would read Gone with the Wind or anything like that, but reading the scriptures prayerfully and allowing God to speak to our hearts in His Word. Because God's Word is alive in the scriptures. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ Himself, is the Word. And when we listen to God's Word intently and prayerfully, now that word becomes alive in our hearts. That word made flesh in our hearts. And then after that, every word that we speak should be that of love, forgiveness, mercy, salvation, lifting up one another in our words, not tearing down. The other part of God's word is speaking the truth. Speaking the truth, even knowing the consequences that may come about. Jesus spoke the truth in the gospel today. I am the Messiah. He said that clearly. He spoke the truth, and yet he was rejected. Further on in the readings, if you know, they're going to drive him out and try to throw him off a cliff because they did not believe him, even though he was speaking the absolute truth. We too are called to do that, to speak God's word in word, his worth too, but in the word, in an absolute truth. When we speak out about all the wrongdoings in our society, we can be afraid to do that because of what the consequences might be. We might be ousted. We might be hated. We might be talked about. But we have to have the courage to speak the truth of God's word. To speak the truth to come out against abortion. To speak the truth about mistreatment of refugees. To speak the truth about all the inhumane going-ons in our society. We are called to do that. And especially on this Sunday, the Sunday of God's Word, we are called to not only speak it, but to live it. To live as Christ, to speak the truth regardless of the outcomes to us. Because what matters is when we get to heaven and we are faced with God face to face, the beatific vision, and God says, why didn't you speak the truth? Why did you not stand up for the imprisoned? Why didn't you not stand up for the lonely? Why did you not stand up for the poor and speak the truth? We have no excuse. But if we do speak the truth, regardless of what people may think of us, we will face God in the beatific vision, and He'll say, well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. God bless.